tonight, and I do want to just say, man, what a blessing it was to be here Sunday. I mean, having Kirk to preach Sunday morning, and the message that he preached about keeping your eyes focused on Christ, not looking to the left or to the right, been able to just kind of feed on that a little bit this week. But as we're looking at Matthew chapter number 9 tonight, we're going to start reading with verse number 27. The Bible says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it." As we look here in Matthew chapter number 9, and there in verse number 27, the Bible tells us, "And there was two blind men that were following Jesus." And notice what the blind men were saying as they were following Jesus. They said, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." Now these two blind men, by them saying, "Thou Son of David," that lets me know that they knew who Christ was. They didn't have to see him with their physical eyes, and they had just heard about who he was and what he had done. And I believe that they had already believed in their heart about who that Jesus was. If you look at this and you see this, "Thou Son of David," see, if you notice, they didn't say, "Thou Son of Joseph," "Thou Son of Mary." They said, "Thou Son of David," which comes from 2 Samuel. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 7. I've got my marker there. 2 Samuel 7, verse number 12. And if you go back and read the verses before this, you'll see that this is Nathan talking to David. God has given Nathan the words to go and talk to David. In verse number 12, Nathan is talking to David, and he says, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers," in other words, when thou art dead, "I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." This was God making a covenant with David, that out of your seed, in other words, out of your family, out of your family tree, that the kingdom is going to be established. The Messiah is coming. So here in Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 27, these two men, I'm sure they had heard this prophecy as they were growing up. I'm sure they had heard that Jesus, the Messiah, was going to be a son of David. He was going to be from David's lineage. And here they recognize Christ for who he is. And they say, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us," or "Messiah, we know that you are Jesus the Christ, have mercy on us." And in this, "have mercy on us," they were saying, "We have a need, we believe that you can meet our need, have mercy on us, meet our need." I believe that sometimes that we are held captive in situations that we're in, we're held down lower than where we're supposed to be, we're held back because, for one, we don't recognize Christ for who he is. We don't recognize him. I believe that everybody in here, I believe that we believe in God. I believe that because you're here tonight and because you have a desire in your heart to know more about God and to grow closer to God, I believe that we believe in God. But you know, being Christ-like and being the Christian and being in the place that God wants us to be is not about believing in God. It's about believing God. And so many times I think that we believe in God instead of believing God and knowing God for who he is. These two guys, they had never seen him with their physical eyes. But they knew what Jesus had done, and they had heard about it. And they had heard about the prophecy, and they said, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. We have a need, and we believe that you can meet that need, and we're asking you to meet the need." How many times do we have a need in our lives, and we don't recognize Christ for who he is, we don't recognize God for who he is, we don't recognize him for what he can do, and then we really don't ask him to do what we need him to do? These two guys, they didn't beat around the bush. They didn't go and say, "Hey, if you would talk with us for a little while, we would appreciate it." They didn't go and say, "Hey, if we could just be around you for a little while, that would be good." But they said, "Have mercy on us. We have a need, and we believe that you can meet that, and we're asking you to meet that." Verse number 28, he says, "And when he's come to the house, the blind man came to him and saith unto him, and he saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this?" Well, first of all, if you look at this, I know that they believed that Jesus could because they was calling on him. They were saying, "Hey, have mercy on us. Hey, we're blind. We need somebody to take care of our blindness." A lot of times we're just, these two guys, they didn't have no choice but to just be honest with themselves and be honest with everybody around them. Everybody could see that they had a need. They knew that they had a need. They couldn't see it because they were blind, but they knew they had a need. But as you look at these two guys and they say, look, we don't care. We don't care what everybody else thinks about us. And we don't care about our needs. We just want our need met. A lot of times we can't have our need met because we're not willing to admit that we have a need. We're not willing to admit to say, you know what, I've got a problem with this. Or I'm being held low because of this. I have a burden. I have this going on in my life. I have this sin that I have trouble with. We want to hide it on the inside of ourselves. And, you know, I remember there was a guy that I went to school with, and he got in trouble when he was about 17 years old. And he got caught for drinking and driving, and he was actually making fun of the whole process. The judge had sentenced him to some kind of rehab or some kind of intervention, whatever you want to call it, and he was making fun. He said, you know, the first thing he told me, the first step to solving my problem is admitting I have one, and he was making fun of that. And I was like, you know what? That applies in so many different aspects of our life. The first step in having your need met is calling out and saying, you know what? I've got a need. Sometimes everybody else can see your need, but a lot of times we hide our needs on the inside. We hide the fact that we're struggling with something. We hide the fact that our heart's broken over something. We hide the fact that we're aggravated over something. And until we finally say, you know what? I may be hiding it from everybody else. Nobody else may know that I'm struggling with this. But God knows, and I'm willing to admit it to God and to say, God, you know my need. I recognize you for who you are. Have mercy on me. Fix my need. I want to ask you to take care of this need. Verse number 28, again, he says, and when he was come to the house, the blind men came to him. You notice a lot of times it seems like we wait on Jesus to come to us. We wait on Jesus to come and knock on our heart's door in the middle of a service. We wait on God's Holy Spirit to come and deal with it. These guys had a need, and they wouldn't wait on nobody. They went and found where Jesus was. The Bible tells us that they were following him. I want to tell you that every answer that you'll ever need to every problem in your life, the answer is Jesus Christ. That is the answer. So don't wait for him to seek you out. Seek him out. Hey, I know you're the answer. God, I know that you have the answer to this problem in my life, and I'm seeking you out because I need help. Look what Jesus said unto him. He says, believe ye that I'm able to do this? Now see, this is where we kind of get all mixed up, and we get confused sometimes, even with other people's needs, because we want to look and say, well, God can fix your need if you do this and if you do that. And are you attending church regularly? Do you have problem with sin? Notice right here that Jesus didn't look at these guys and say, well, was you at church on Sunday? He didn't look at them and say, are you reading your Bible every day? He didn't look at them and say, are you praying? Are you tithing? Are you wearing a suit to church? Are you wearing a dress to church? He didn't ask them any of these questions. I'm glad these guys were wearing dresses. But as he looks at them, he says, he don't say, see if they're meeting standards. He says, do you believe? Do you really believe that I can do this? You know what? The only thing that binds Christ's power, that binds God's power in my life, is my lack of faith. The only thing that keeps him from being able to do things in my life that I really need him to do is my lack of faith. Is my lack of saying, God, I know you can. God, I'm going to believe that you are. And God, I'm going to trust that you're going to do this. But see, I want to put do's and don'ts on it. Even with people that I come in contact every single day. When I know that they have a need of salvation in their life, if we're not careful, we'll begin to throw do's and don'ts at them. We'll begin to say, well, if you would quit this and if you would quit that, then your life would be better. Or if you would change this about your life, or if you would do this, or if you would, and it don't have anything to do with any of that. What it has to do with is you just need to believe in Christ. You need to trust in him for what he did on the cross. All of those do's and don'ts will take care of themselves. All of those things that they should be doing or the things that they shouldn't be doing, the Holy Spirit will begin to work in their life and they'll begin to take care of those. And don't worry about it. You're not going to stand accountable for not one thing that they do. You just point them to Christ and you let God take care of the rest of it. Same thing in my life. Hey, I hold myself accountable for a whole lot of things. For one, I want to have a good testimony. I want to be able to tell others that Christ is my Savior and I want my life to reflect his light and his love. But don't worry, if I mess up tomorrow, if I make a mistake, you're not going to be accountable for that. If I fall and you see me stump my toe and I make a mistake, how about praying for me? How about standing in the gap for me? How about saying, you know what, I know I'm not perfect either, so I'm going to pick him up, we're down here together, and we're both going to try to climb back up to where we're supposed to be. But see, we want to put do's and don'ts on it. asked these guys not one thing. He didn't say, well, if I heal you, are you going to tie to the church? If I heal you, are you going to tell others? Actually, he's going to command them not to tell others here in just a minute. But he didn't give them a bunch of do's and don'ts to go along with it. He just said, do you believe? So I wonder sometimes the things that I'm asking God for in my life, is it because that there's doubt in my life? Is the reason that God's not doing those things? Because if you notice, here in just a minute, let's keep reading right here. Verse number 29. Well, in verse number 28 at the end of it, after he says, believe ye that I'm able to do this, and he's asking them a question, and they said, hey, Lord, we know that you can do this. Verse number 29, he said, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now look, he didn't say, according to the sovereign will of God. He didn't say, because it's God's will for this to happen, this is going to happen. Now, I'm not throwing a name and claim it thing out here. I'm telling you that God's made us some promises of some things that he'll do for us. And sometimes we don't get to experience God's promises in our lives because our faith is weak. Because we don't believe that God can do this. But he looks at him and he says, according to your faith. Not according because, he didn't even say because it was my will for this to happen. He didn't say because it was God's will. But he says, because you believed. Because you believe, because your faith is there, be it unto you. Now look, I know faith is one of those things that's hard to measure. If we all could have a measuring stick in our life. Today I had to go help a guy, and we were looking at a water heater, and this water heater is supposed to make hot water hot just instantly. I mean, as it goes through it, man, it fires and 170 degree water, just boom. And you're sitting there and you're watching it, and it sounds like water's running through this thing. But you know, it's got a little digital display on the front of it. You go to play on that little digital display, and all of a sudden it says, well, there's only 0.2 gallons going through here. And as long as there's only 0.2 gallons a minute going through that thing, it's never going to fire. That water heater's not going to fire. So we're thinking that we should have hot water on the other end. We're hearing evidence, but then when we run the test on it, it's just not there. So it won't fire. And I said all that to say this. A lot of times we see evidence of Christ in people's lives. We hear what they say. We see what they do. But I want to tell you something. When you put that up against what God's Word says about our life, when you run the test on it, sometimes it's just not there. I mean, the people in God's Word, you know, when Kurt was preaching Sunday, and I'm not sure that I'm going to get into this one night during revival next week, but when he was preaching Sunday out of Hebrews chapter number 11, and it begins to talk about all the heroes of faith in chapter number 11, and you begin to go through all the wonderful things that God did, and there toward the end of the chapter, he starts saying, you know, by faith the mouth of the lions was shut, and by faith the fire was quenched, and by all these, and man, you're seeing all of these wonderful things, and then all of a sudden he says, and there was some that was tortured. And there's some people that have their faith has been tested. And the Bible says, even in Hebrews chapter number 11, and they have gained a good report. See, you know what? When it's easy, and when things are making sense, and when things are going good, if you look and you say, man, I've got all the faith in the world. God is. But what about when the test comes? What about when you click the little button and the test is run? Is it going to be the same? See, a lot of times in my life, I'm afraid that as long as things are going good and I'm reading the hallelujah scriptures in the Bible and people are being saved and people around me, man, I don't know, there's been probably two or three people this week that says, man, I'm hearing good things about fellowship. I'm hearing good things about fellowship. And I go, yeah, God's working. I had one guy for about four different times this week. He said, I'm hearing you're doing good things over fellowship. And I said, yes, God is. And he said, I'm hearing you're doing good things. I said, yes, God is. I had to kind of re-say it about four times until the guy finally got it that I was trying to say, I'm not responsible for any of it. God's doing it. And man, that's awesome. And right now, it's easy for my faith to be strong. It's easy for my confidence in God to be strong because everything's going good. But what about when that test comes? See, these guys, they had a test. They were blind. They needed God to move in their life. And even in the time that they needed God to move in their life, their faith was strong enough that look what Jesus said. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now, what if God verbally, out loud, audibly, if you heard God say, however much you believe in me, that's what you're going to get. How much would you get? Sometimes I'd be a little short, Bobby. Sometimes I'd be like, no, don't give it to me according to my faith. You give it to me according to Mildred's faith. That's what I want. I want it according to somebody else's faith, not mine. Because I don't know that I've got that much faith, God. Because when the rubber meets the road and you really look at where your faith is, you really look at how much confidence that you have in God. See, even me, myself, you know, I've been saved since I was 7, been in church since before I was born. And even being around it all my life, there are still things that come in my life and I go, I don't know if God can do anything with that or not. There's people in my family that I want to see them come to know Christ. And to be honest, my faith is not strong enough to pray for them the way that I should. Because I'm praying, but I'm doubting the whole time that I pray. I'm praying and saying, God, I need you to move. But in the back of my mind, I'm saying, but, man, that's a tough situation. You want to know what's a tough situation? A tough situation is when three people are thrown into a fiery furnace and it's cut up 7 times hotter than it's ever been cut. And yet they come out and the king looks down and says, I see a fourth, and the fourth is likened to the Son of God. That's an impossible situation, but you know what? That was no trouble for God. And if you don't believe that, then you better not believe John 3:16 or Romans 10 or 9 or Revelation chapter number 21. Because I believe that God delivered those three guys from that fiery furnace just like the Bible says it. I believe that he delivered Daniel from the den of lions just like the Bible says it. And I don't have trouble believing that because I can look back and see it. But what about tomorrow? Is my faith strong enough for my tomorrow that when I face something like that, if God looks and says, according to your faith, man, I think my faith needs a little workout session. It needs some strengthening. It needs, let's look in one more place right here. Matthew chapter number 20. Matthew chapter number 20, verse number 29. If I can get there. I bet Shannon's done got it for me. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. Now listen, we're going to have a deja vu right here. We're going to go through verse number 34. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. Again, they recognized who he was. He said, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. They knew he was the Messiah. Do you know that we are serving a risen Savior tonight? We're not serving some kind of fake something. This is not just for feelings. This is not just for, hey, I put on Facebook all the time when I put something on Facebook to the church, hey, fellowship family, this is my family. But you know what? I love y'all, and I want to be here with y'all, and I want to be part of the family. But y'all are not why I come to church. I come to church because God's been good to me, because he loved me so much that he allowed his son to die on a rugged cross for me. Y'all are the bonus that goes along with my salvation. Y'all are one of my blessings that goes along with my salvation. But they said, have mercy on us, thou Son of David. Verse number 32. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I should do unto you? What do you want me to do to you? And Jesus, verse number 33, sorry. And they said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be open. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Now what if he said, what would you that I do to you? And they just said, well, I don't know. There ain't much wrong. There ain't much wrong with me. You know, oh, I can't see. That might be, no. The desire of their heart when they met Jesus, they knew that they had reached somebody that could handle their problem. They didn't beat around the bush with the problem. They went straight to it and said, Lord, that we may receive our sight. The Bible says that he had compassion on them. The Bible says that he reached and he gave them their sight. But if you look back in that scripture, as they're crying out to Christ, the crowd says, y'all be quiet. Shut up over there. Because you know what? I want to tell you something. Your faith gets strong and God begins to do amazing things in your life. And God already is doing amazing things in our lives. But when that happens, the outside world does not understand that. And you're going to get a lot of noise and a lot of flack from the outside world. Well, how do you know that that's real? How do you know this? How do you know that? And you know, you get a lot of questions and, well, why do you believe this and why do you believe that? Well, right here's why I believe it. Because the Bible says it. I'm not smart enough to explain to you everything in this Bible. There's absolutely no way that I'm smart enough. But I will tell you this. I guess I'm just dumb enough to say if it says it, I believe it. I don't have to argue it. But the rest of the crowd, they would say, y'all be quiet. And it's like, no, we got a need. We're not going to be quiet just because you're telling us to be quiet. Hey, this outside world, as we love them, as we're praying for them, as we're trying to point them to Christ, they almost feel like an enemy because they're trying to push your faith down. They're trying to keep you quiet about your faith. They're trying to say, be quiet. We don't care what your need is. But I want to tell you that these two guys, they didn't let that smother them. They didn't let that make them be quiet. They kept saying, Lord, help us. Have mercy on us. And they ended up receiving their sight. I know in my life, let's just be honest, that I probably am the most boastful. And I'm using that word in a good way, not in a bad way. I'm probably the most boastful about my relationship with Christ. I'm probably the loudest about my faith in Christ. I am probably more assuredly a Christian right here than I am anywhere else in the world. I am probably more, hallelujah, God's been good to me. I am probably more, I know that God can handle your problem. I am more, I know that Christ will save old sinners. I have more of that attitude right here than I do out there. Well, guess what? Y'all don't need that. Y'all don't need me to tell you that because you've experienced yourself. But where I need all of that is out there in a lost and dying world. When everybody else is saying, be quiet about your faith. When everybody else is saying, I don't know if God can handle that or not. That's when I need to be. And when I say boastful, you know what I'm talking about, being having a backbone and standing up and saying, I know God's able. I know that He can. I know that He's going to. He already has. He's given me everything that I need through salvation. These two guys, they weren't afraid. They didn't care what everybody else said. And I know that when we read the verse of Scripture and the Bible tells us that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. When we read the Scripture that says, if you're ashamed of Christ here in this wicked and adulterous generation, that He'll be ashamed of us before the Father. And we read that and we say, I'm not ashamed. But sometimes my faith, the test of when you push the little button, and man, you're hearing all this rigmarole, and you think there's a whole lot of flowing through there, but when you push the little button, there's only 2.2 gallons a minute going, the fire don't fire. I may have lost you in the plumbing example, I'm sorry, but it made sense to me today when I was watching that water heater run. But when we're looking at our lives, and we want to be so, if we didn't want our faith to grow, we wouldn't be here. Because all of y'all have had days at work, you've had things going on today, and you're just like me. I ran home and threw some Kentucky Fried Chicken no more, KFC down the hatch. And that's the reason that I'm fighting chicken up here tonight. Hey, I feel more like a Baptist preacher than ever. I eat chicken tonight. It's good stuff. But I ran home and I threw some KFC down the hatch and ran out the door. And Silas, I mean, we was flying everywhere trying to get to church tonight. You know, it'd been a lot easier. Just to say, you know, I mean, I couldn't do this because y'all were expecting me to be here, but it's a lot easier for you just to sit there in the chair and flip the channels tonight. Find something decent to watch on television. Good luck. But find something that you wanted to watch on television. Read a book for y'all that are literate. It would have been a lot more you could relax and just to do that. But see, I know that we want our faith to increase. We want our relationship with Christ to grow. We want to walk closer, or we wouldn't be here on Wednesday. A lot of other things that we could be doing. You could have been working. There's things that you could have got accomplished. And the only thing that I'm saying is, it's good that we have that desire, but let's also exercise it. Out here in a lost and a dying world, don't let here be the only place that we exercise our faith. Don't let here be the only place that we're boastful about our faith, having backbone. Don't let here be the only place that we say, I know God can do it. Don't let this be place where we exemplify, if that's a word, that we show our faith, and then we go out into a lost and a dying world, and we drop our head and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. Hey, you know, the economy has changed a whole lot. Things seem like it's going good. It seems like people's got a little extra money right now, and people are buying, and they're doing, and it seems like people are a little cheaper. Seems like to me. Everything's going good. But you know, sooner or later, just with the way things do, there's going to be a downturn. There's going to be a time when all that shifts again. And what I want to tell you is that God that is God right now is going to be the same God when it turns down too. And if today was a good day and tomorrow's a bad day, the same God is still in control. And when you need something, the same God that supplied you last time is going to going to supply you next time, just trust him. Put your faith right there, and don't be afraid to admit, God, I've got a need. You know what? You can have a pocket full of money. You can have a bank full of money. You can own the bank and still have a need. That don't do anything for you. I've got needs in my life. You got needs in your life. Just know that Jesus Christ can supply those needs. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you do for us. God, I pray that you'll help me, God, to practice what I preach. God, I pray that you'll help me as I go from day to day, that this is not where I'm the most faithful, God. That this is not where I talk about my faith and I show my faith and I experience my faith, and then out in the lost and dying world, that my faith is weak. God, help me to be like the two men here that were blind, that had a need, that they realized their need, they knew where the answer was to their need, and by their faith in you, their need was met. God, I pray that you'll help us as a church, God, that we'll keep our eyes on you. Never let us be boastful about us, but help us to always give you glory for everything that's done here, because you're truly worthy. God, I pray most of all, it seems like here recently that you've been sending a lot of messages about salvation. And I believe, God, that there may be some that's coming to church with us on Sunday that stand in need of salvation. Maybe they stand in a need of renewing their relationship with you. And God, I pray that you'll continue to have mercy. I pray that you'll continue to give them that space of grace, God, and help them to see their need. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake.